This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
What I thought could be a negative for Indiana certainly looked like a positive for Indiana in game one, and that's the fact they got four different guys who could close out games. With the Knicks, it's Jalen Brunson, and he has been as good a closer as we've seen in a long, long time. But you take a look at overtime, in which it was a back-and-forth game after the goaltend by Miles Turner that was called a clean block. I'm sorry, I watched that replay like 800 times more after our show. And it's very close, so yeah. I'm not killing the officials for it, but I do think it was a goaltend.
Yeah, well, there's no way that in real time, like real action, you could determine that.
It's very tough.
Impossible.
Yeah, you have to go real slow-mo. It's also not a reviewable play, so it's one of those things. I wouldn't say the Knicks got screwed. I'd say, hey, a very tough call went against you, and it was very impactful. So after that block and Nembhard three, it became crunch time. 2 minutes to go, 1-point game. And we saw, for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson get fouled, hit his free throws. Jalen Brunson get fouled, hit his free throws. The Jalen Brunson floater, in which he split the defenders. And then after that, you had the out-of-bounds play, and they forced the threes. Yep. So it was Jalen Brunson time in the final few minutes. And you could argue it wasn't bad. He scored 6 points. I mean, made his free throws twice in a row, made that floater. And then, unfortunately, the turnover is really what changed everything. In Indiana's case, think about what they did. It was an Andrew Nembhard layup that gave the Pacers their first lead of overtime. A Tyrese Halliburton layup that gave them the lead. Halliburton then missed a three, and Obi Toppin dunked it in on the miss.
Right, because nobody blocked him out.
And then you had Halliburton to Nembhard that gave him the lead that pretty much finished it, and then an Obi Toppin dunk. So it was coming at you. We didn't see Nesmith, who was so good at the close of the fourth quarter. And Miles Turner was barely out there.
Right.
In the Knicks' case, it's almost predictable. You know where it's going. In the Pacers' case, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, you wonder why they move around so much. It's probably because they just have trust in all those guys. And it's weird because it almost feels like they don't have anything to lose, this Indiana Pacers team. That's how they play. And it's why when they get down, it doesn't feel like, oh, what was me? We'll get to the next game, next whatever. They fight through it because they don't have anything to lose.
You know what's funny about you saying that? And you're right, that's the way it appears that they play.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my analysis hat on.
Okay, because of the Pacers.
Because a few days ago I said this about the Knicks. I said, look, if you just look at the history of championship windows and the ages of the stars, Knicks got to win now.
Yeah.
Well, when I look at the Indiana Pacers and the way things have been paid for them too, they better win now. Are we convinced the Pacers? They'll be a good team for a while. Just like the Knicks will be a good team for a while. Are they going to have as good of an opportunity to win an NBA championship as they have right now? The answer is probably not.
No, I would think not. Especially, you know, because Cleveland's going to keep getting better, obviously. Boston, who knows what Boston's going to do.
But you also don't know about anyone else.
Exactly.
Or injuries.
The teams that come from nowhere.
Or even the injuries that affect you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know if you're going to be the one that's victimed to the brutal injury. So You're right. It appears like they're playing very carefree, and maybe those in the national media think they have nothing to lose. I think the Knicks and the Pacers are in a very similar boat. Mm-hmm. You got to take advantage of this moment. This moment presents itself where you could be sitting in the NBA Finals.
Of course.
Do it.
And that's obvious. But I'm just saying, they play with a ease and a comfort that allows them to not feel, I don't know, hamstrung or pressured in moments. You know what I mean?
I feel like
the Knicks, sometimes they get tight.
You know what I think it is? The word I would use to describe it is chemistry. Mm. These guys have played a lot of basketball together.
Yeah.
And one of the advantages the Pacers have in this series over the Knicks is that chemistry.
Right.
This is still a new team. I know no one wants to hear that because it's been a whole season and we've seen, 97 games or whatever it is, but it is a much newer team compared to Indiana, who essentially had this unit going on a deep playoff run a year ago.
That's right.
Let's go to Jay in Toms River. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
All's good.
Good.
I was actually calling just to, tell everyone to just chill out. Like, game one, the odds of everything that happened during game one, it's not going to happen again. Like, Nesmith putting up six threes, it's just not. I don't know. I think everyone's stressed and nothing to stress about.
You're right about the logic that Nesmith is unlikely to make a threes. But we could have said the exact same thing after game one Knicks Celtics, in that there's no way the Celtics are going to miss, 75% of their shots.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? They did it again. So I'm learning the lessons of the mistakes we all made, which is we said the same stuff after the Knicks came back against Boston in the other route.
Right.
Like, Boston fans were like, well, that's not going to happen.
But when game five, when the Knicks got run out of the building in game five, the one thing you did say was a guy like Luke Kornet is not going to be otherworldly every game for the rest of this series. And guess what? He wasn't.
Right.
And so in game six, he was non-factor. And so you go from being basically all-star caliber to a non-factor. That's kind of what I think he was getting at.
Okay, but the problem with that logic is this, and I'm going to use Pascal Siakam as an example. He didn't have a bad game one. Mm-hmm. He scored 17. He was 7 for 16 from the field. He didn't make a three.
Yeah.
So it was a quiet game for Pascal Siakam. As much as you'll confidently say, well, Aaron Nesmith isn't going to make eight threes again, Pascal Siakam could drop 30. Mm. That's why connecting one game to another with not going to happen again is
hard.
Flawed logic. And the Celtic fan tried to do it to you guys after game one. They did the same thing. Mm. And then we sat there after game two and said, remember when everyone assumed this wouldn't happen again? So, A, could happen again, but more likely, no, Nesmith isn't dropping 30, but maybe Miles Turner, who only played 31 minutes, has a bigger impact on this game. Maybe that's what happens. Maybe Miles Turner blocks five shots in this game.
Oh, come on.
Come on. He's capable of it. Same thing with Siakam. Look, I could do this with the Knicks, too. It's not being pro-Pacer. It's more, let's not assume something's going to happen again.
No, I agree.
That's not going to happen again, but something else won't change.
I agree. I mean, it felt like the Knicks and the Celtics, a couple of those games felt similar. But really, all of them were just different.
It's all different stories.
Yeah.
It's all different stories. Nesmith isn't dropping 30. I agree with you, but something else will likely happen that will impact this game, win or lose. Let's go to Dave on Long Island. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Right along the same point, how are you today? Great job, by the way. Just want to say that.
Appreciate it.
Two things I have that I think give Knicks fans confidence. The first one is no other team, I don't think, went through a first-round series like the Knicks did with Detroit. Detroit, give them credit, they played harder, better defense, more aggressively, consistently for 48 minutes than any other team. So the Knicks were well-prepared going into Boston that way. That's one thing.
Good point.
The second thing is the only way that Boston, to me, was competitive with the Knicks is when they were shooting lights out, right? And you saw it in all the games. When the Knicks didn't shoot well and Boston shot lights out, the Knicks didn't really have a chance. The games where they were close, when Boston didn't go on those make 7, 8, 9 threes in a row, they couldn't beat the Knicks. And I think it's the same way with the Pacers. It's not Nesmith hitting 8 shots. It's Nesmith hitting 6 in a row in 2 minutes. That's not going to happen again. And think about how they started off the game, right? The Pacers didn't miss a shot the first quarter. They hit like 8 or 9 threes in the first quarter, and the Knicks were still leading. So it took miraculous shooting, and the Knicks were still there. I think everything just went wrong at the wrong time. I think we have great confidence going forward. What do you guys think?
I mean, I would, if I was a Knicks fan.
I would have great confidence going.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ford, I agree with the last part you said. Like, I would have confidence, but I also think you're making kind of that same mistake. Like, game one and everything that happened, good or bad, and connecting it to game two is not the right approach because there are going to be a lot of things that just play out completely differently.
Right.
Like, yes, the Pacers got off to an unreal shooting start in this game. They made their first 8 shots. And yeah, the Knicks were only down by 4 or 5, and it was like, wow, they're still in this game. What a great sign. So I think there's a lot of elements to this that can change. And I got to tell you, I brought this up briefly yesterday, but I do want to play it for you because Charles Barkley, I know he's considered just a troll, and that's how Knicks fans view him. But he made a very interesting point at halftime. Halftime of game one.
Ogunobi?
He did say that in the middle of this thing we're about to play. So definitely.
Ogunobi.
Don't get distracted by him mispronouncing OG Anunoby's
name. Ogunobi?
Yeah. So just... yeah, play that again so people hear it. Okay, haha, it's funny.
Ogunobi?
Don't get distracted. You're going to hear the whole context.
Who was he thinking of, I wonder?
I think he was thinking of OG Anunoby. I just don't think he knows how to say his name.
No. He must have confused him with Obi. I'm trying to think.
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, I don't know.
Obi-Toppin?
Who could he have been confusing him with to mess it up that bad?
I think it's just Chuck being Chuck.
Ogunobi.
But Charles Barkley took a lot of heat because at halftime of this game, in which the Knicks were up by 7, and you felt good. It wasn't a blowout by any stretch, but you felt good, especially because you withstood, as our last caller said, the Pacers' great hot shooting, and here you are up by 7. Charles Barkley made a compelling case on what he would be worried about with the New York Knicks moving forward. And I think he makes a lot of really good points. So forget that it's Charles Barkley. Forget that he can't say OG Anunoby's name.
Ogunobi?
Listen to what he says, and then we'll have a nice discussion.
One thing they got to worry about. Indiana wants to play like this. And this is only game one. And if the Knicks try to run with the Pacers, because the Pacers, you can see Ogunobi, he's struggling. He is struggling trying to keep this pace up. So if the Knicks think they're going to run 7 games with the Pacers, they're going to lose this series. Like, the Pacers got to be saying, guys, they got to do a better job on the boards. But if we play 7 games at this pace, we want to play like this. The Knicks, they have enough confidence in their bench to play 7 games like this? I don't believe it. We're going to play 9, 10 guys, and we're going to play fast. You got to feel good if you're the Pacers. You got to feel good.
I think he makes a lot of sense with that. The Pacers play at a breakneck pace. Mm-hmm. The Knicks are not as deep. During the regular season, they played at the 26th fastest pace. Indiana was top seven.
Right.
I agree that if the Knicks run with Indiana, while it almost worked in game one, in fact, you guys should have won. And it doesn't mean you can't win games, but I do think it poses the risk that you're going to be worn out. And I think we disagree on this. I think the Knicks looked like a worn out team at the end of game one. Well, and I mean, I think the pace had a lot to do with it.
Well, they definitely did because they looked lazy in a lot of the things they were doing defensively. But part of that also was just the mindset, right? It's creating the idea in your head that your body can still do it even when your body's telling you it can't. And that they succumbed to that, and it was obvious, and the Pacers took advantage of it. I think the Knicks can play at this pace for four games or five games. They can't do it the whole series.
And that's Charles's point. I kind of agree because I look at what happened at the end of game one. We had a call earlier talking about the Knicks' inability to successfully inbound the basketball without it being an adventure. And he asked, why is that the case? And, you know, openly say, is it coaching? What is it? Is it the fact that this was just a tired team? I mean, yeah. OG Anunoby, specifically him, and Jalen Brunson, both look completely winded at the end of this game. Mm. And a part of that is continuing to play at this pace against Indiana. And I think it's dangerous over the course of a seven-game series in which there are no long breaks. It is every other day the rest of the way, which is great for us fans. We all love it.
Right.
But I think is a challenge that the Knicks are going to face. And it may not rear its ugly head today. It's only game two of the series. But I do think Charles brings up a fair point that as the later this series goes, with the fact that Pacers are a deeper team, this is something that could work to their edge.
So let me play out a scenario, especially coming off the way they lost in game one. Knicks are up big in the fourth quarter. Does Tibbs call off the dogs? You just blew a big lead, but you want to rest these guys. You assume the series is going long. What does he do?
No, I don't even think it has to do with that.
He didn't do that in Boston until, 5 minutes left in the game?
To me, it has nothing to do with sitting my guys. That's not it. It's trying to change the tone of this series by not having Indiana dictate.
No, I understand that. Play your style. But
I wouldn't be sitting guys. Like, I think you got to put your foot on the gas to win games when the opportunity is in front of
totally
you.
Totally agree.
So it has nothing to do with sitting guys. It has to do with, and it's a challenge. It's easier said than done. But how do you find a way to not play Pacer basketball?
You have to grind it out. You got to get him in the half court.
Yeah.
And there's times where it's just like that inbound to OB when he dunked. I know they should have just fouled there. They need to slow the pace down any way they can, which is tough.
Speaking of the TNT broadcast, I need to play this now. Otherwise, it's going to be just really old. Did
anyone? Ojanobi?
Not that gaffe. I got another gaffe from the TNT broadcast. Mm-hmm. That's right up your guys' alley. Did you guys hear the Kevin Harlan screw up?
No.
Kevin Harlan was talking about Tom Thibodeau. Okay. You're just talking about Tom Thibodeau. Did you catch it, Sean? You're usually good catching gaffes.
I don't think I caught this gaffe.
You like this gaffe. Ladies and gentlemen, you got it ready, Tommy? You let me know. Kevin Harlan, broadcaster TNT. By the way, does a great job. Kevin, it ain't personal if you're driving into Madison Square Garden right now. I had to replay my DVR a few times to say, did he just say what I thought he said?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Kevin Harlan talking about the Knicks head coach, Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau, the coach of the Knicks in his fifth year, first conference finals since 2011 when he was the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears. You guys didn't get that.
He said Bulls.
He said Bears.
No, he didn't.
He said Bears. No, play it again.
Tom Thibodeau, the coach of the Knicks in his fifth year, first conference finals since 2011 when he was the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears.
Dude, are you all right?
Are you all right?
He says Bulls.
No, he doesn't.
I hear Bulls.
Can you isolate it so we can hit it over and over again? That's Bears. That's Bears.
Bulls.
Chicago Bears.
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 What? Say it again.
Bears.
Dude, he doesn't say Bears.
He says Bears.
Bulls. Dude, Evan, this is an all-time L for you. Harlan's a legend in the business, and you think he said Bears you sat on?
Time out.
Intellectually bankrupt.
Tiki and Sean are very passionate.
I hear Bulls. That's the only reason I'm...
I don't even hear a subtlety of Bears.
I hear Bears. Tommy, if you say you hear Bulls, I will wear an L for the rest of this segment, which ends in a few minutes.
He says Chicago Bulls.
Oh, come on!
Right.
He says Bears!
It's the Chicago Bulls.
He definitely says Bulls. He's the L's.
Dude, Dude, I am so confused as to how you heard Bears there at all.
To the Chicago Bears.
I still hear Bears. Like, you guys keep saying it, and I'm like, are you guys pulling a joke on me?
I don't hear an R at the end of that at all.
No, and I hear ooh, ooh, ooh.
I hear oohs.
You hear bulls?
Yes.
Want it one more time here, Rev?
Yeah.
This is your final chance.
To the Chicago Bears.
Oh, it's definitely Bears.
Evan, this is so egregious. I feel like we're on some kind of weird Impractical Joker show.
Yeah, as well. All right, give me the L. I'll just wear it. This is ridiculous.
And Evan does the whole wind-up, by the way. Sean, you're usually good at catching these guys.
I know, and he's like going through it and setting us up, and I'm like, all right, I'm listening intently for what Kevin's going to say. All right, what's he going to say?
And you didn't
hear
it?
And I'm like, did I miss it early? What, did I miss it? And then at the end, I hear bulls, and I'm like, okay.
Tiki, to the Chicago Bears.
You know how you know we're right, too, Tiki?
So
because
that?
Evan didn't tip us off as to what to listen for, so yes. We heard totally clear.
Right.
So we didn't even, like, have in the back of our mind, I'm going to hear Bears, I'm going to hear Bears.
If I had tipped off he's going to call the Bulls the Bears, you may have heard Bears?
May have, because I'm, like, listening for it. I didn't know what I was he hit play the first time, and I looked at Tiki, like, what is he talking about?
Kevin Harlan, if you are in your car right now and you're pissed off at me that I tried to make you look like a fool, and clearly you didn't, I'm wearing an L right now, so...
You can't grab there. You can't grab there.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I'm taking my L, even though I don't think I'm wrong. But if all three of you, 6 ears, are going to tell me he said bulls...
I hear bulls.
Okay.
I have a little inside radio here, though, that I'm really questioning. How this works on our show is Evan, if he hears something, finds him, will send it to Tommy. Tommy will put it in the system. How did Tommy allow us to go to air with that just to make you look like an idiot?
I will defend Tommy. He did not try to make me look like an idiot. I actually put this in the system by myself.
Oh.
I'm a very hands-on radio host sometimes, and sometimes instead of bothering Tommy by sending him a ton of stuff, I do it myself, and this one I did by myself. But Tommy, if you heard it, what would you have thought?
I wouldn't have known why you sent it to me. And there are times where you send me stuff where I'm not quite sure why we're going to play it, but I trust you. Perhaps I should, maybe. No, I should check on it. But this one I hadn't heard till we all heard it on the air because you did it yourself.
I still can't believe you guys hear bulls.
I don't hear Bears at all.
Oh, to the Chicago Bears.
I'm wearing the... Guys.
He draws it out a little bit, but it's not like bulls. He's like, bulls.
That true, but there's no air at all.
No.
All I'll tell you is I'm taking my loss like a grown-up, Sean. Pay attention. This is how it does.
Don't flip this on me.
I still don't agree with you guys, but I will wear the L for the rest of this segment. Let's take a break. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go to Paul in Queens. What's up, Paul?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. Mm-hmm. Doing well.
So this is why I get accused of being a Knicks hater, because I'm a Knicks fan hater. I mean, the last few calls of just straight confidence. Like, I talked to BT and Sal yesterday. I said this is going to be the best series of the NBA playoffs because they're so evenly matched, you know, with the
right.
the bigs, the two-star point guards, all the wings. And I said it's going to be the best series, you know, but I said it's going to come down to, you know, one player being like taking it over and winning it and then being the guy. So right now it looks like it's Tyrese Haliburton so far. But what I'm saying, but what I think is, honestly, like, if Jalen Brunson doesn't completely take over, and or Cat or both of them at the same time, I think the Pacers are going to win.
Well, a couple things. I agree with you. This is going to be the best series of the postseason. Right. It's certainly going to be the best series remaining in the postseason because I think the Thunder are rolling to an NBA title,
right.
Which so far that prediction's off to a decent start.
Yeah, they won pretty easily yesterday.
But what's funny about what you're saying in terms of the best player on the floor is, yes, Jalen Brunson had a huge turnover and turned the ball over 7 times in this game. Yes, Jalen Brunson missed a big free throw, even though he made 86% of his free throws. Yes, Jalen Brunson put up an air ball on a game-tying three. He scored 43 points on 15 for 25 from the field, and we're acting like it was it was mediocre. Like, yes, there was execution problems at the end of this game.
Right, there were just places where you could criticize him, even though he was exceptional most of the game.
And Tyrese Haliburton had a tremendous game as well. Like, absolutely. But they don't come back unless it's Aaron Nesmith making 6 threes in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. So I reject the notion that the best player on the floor is still not Jalen Brunson. I'm not going to concede on that. The best player on the floor is Jalen Brunson.
No, that's true. It's just as crazy as it sounds having to say what you just said, he also needs to be better. He needs to be better in critical moments, making free throws. He can't have all those turnovers. And he can't get himself in foul trouble, as
That's
we talked
it.
About a lot.
That's it, man.
Then he just becomes a one-sided player.
Absolutely. And he's a one-sided player anyway.
Right.
But that makes it worse. Now, apparently we have somebody on hold who agrees that he heard Bears. Mm. Artie and Malvern, you say you heard Bears as well, correct?
I did immediately as soon as you played it. But then after you played it, I could hear both.
Yes, you could now your mind's playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that comes down to.
I appreciate it, Artie. And I appreciate the hundreds of text messages I'm getting from people who are all saying they heard Bulls.
To the Chicago Bulls.
There's one text message I got from a buddy of mine named Chris, who actually is the only person that I will trust in this.
Why?
Because Chris supplied me the SAP written word if you watched it on TV.
The closed captions?
Closed captions. Why did I say SAP? Yeah, what's SAP?
Spanish.
Oh. My bad. The closed captions. You know how, like, you can have closed captions? Yes. They'll give you the words?
I just listened to a podcast about how closed captions happened. Started at Gallaudet University. There was a protest because they hired a hearing and not even an ASL-capable president, and the students protested. And as a result, they had this debate between this incoming president, Lynn Zinser, and the student body president. And I'm being honest.
No, it's great.
And then it was on television. They broadcast it. I think it was NBC. And the students at Gallaudet couldn't watch it.
Wow.
Because it wasn't transcribed. They're all deaf, obviously.
Yeah.
They couldn't watch it. They just looked at the image, but they couldn't find anything. And so it started transcription. And it used to just be people typing, Sterners. Just typing.
And now it's AI,
as fast
right?
as possible. Then it became voice talking. So the computer could take audio, but it was always distorted. So someone would literally have to sit there and, if I'm watching this baseball game, whatever that broadcaster's saying, I'd have to repeat it into this computer. And so they hired all these voice writers.
Wow.
And then of late, it's all being taken over by AI.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is
why I listen to podcasts. I get smarter.
No, you do. And now we're smarter because we all listen to this. And be warned, Sean, this will be on Tiki Trivia in 6 months, so hopefully you paid attention to what he just said.
What was that university I said?
I don't know.
You forgot.
Come on! He just said it!
It's the preeminent deaf university in the world, basically.
Hold on, Tommy, did you hear the school that Tiki said?
No.
Northwestern. Intellectually bankrupt.
I have to be honest. I think I forgot too.
Gallaudet.
Yes. Damn it.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, that's right. I was about to say Harvard, and then I fixed it. I do not like closed captions because I find the words annoying. Mm. But my wife loves it because she's like, hey, sometimes if I don't hear what someone said, I like to see the words on the screen.
I'm like your wife. I'm the same way.
A lot of people are. The point is, he has sent me that the closed captions say Bulls.
Mm.
So I take my L.
L.
Even though Artie, our last caller, agreed with me.
Wear it proudly, Evan.
But here's the best part. The segment is over, so now I'm going to take this L off. One thing I do want to call out, then we'll get back to your phone calls from Knicks fans. All pumped up for game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks-Pacers. Sean has obviously been very quiet the last couple of days because he's plotting. He's a plotting individual. And in his mind, if I've read you well enough, Sean, you are looking for the Knicks' destruction. Not only because you don't like the Knicks, but because you're still feeling this Yankees-Knicks comparison, the Aaron Judge, Jalen Brunson, King comparison. That is still something that bothers you. And I've noticed this because when you comment about the Knicks, especially on social media, we don't let them comment that much on the Knicks here, there's usually references to Kingdoms and Brunson and Judge. And so I know your game. And I know that that's been kind of bothering you throughout this run. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'll always be transparent with the audience. The Knicks are probably the one New York team I actually hate the most. Like, I laugh at the Jets and Mets.
Fair enough.
But has the hatred been ratcheted up a bunch working on this show and having you guys just so passively toss Aaron Judge aside and make Brunson the king? Yeah, it pisses me off. Yes.
And that's why you haven't said this to me, but I am going to read your mind. I'm going to do a little mind reading. When the Knicks collapsed at the end of game one, and they collapsed. Look, the Pacers did a lot of good things, but much like other collapses, of course, someone's doing a good thing. The thing that you really enjoyed about the collapse is in your mind, you thought what we witnessed on Wednesday was worse than game 5 between the Yankees and the Dodgers.
It absolutely was worse.
Was it?
Yeah, it was because of the context of where the series were.
Why can't explain.
Yeah. I wasn't going to respond. I was going to let Tom
No. I'm trying to keep calm today. It's a positive vibes day. I'm an all-time vibes guy. But can you please explain for the audience at least what you mean by the context was different?
Okay, so it's game one at home. Mm-hmm. You're favored in the series. Mm-hmm. You're doing something that no NBA team in collapse fashion has ever done. The Yankees in game five, the drop fly ball, obviously gut-wrenching. I sat there. Yankees already down 3-1 in the series, underdogs in the series, much different context. Now, while I might have believed in real time the Yankees were about to do the impossible, the reality is they probably weren't. So the series was probably already over, despite what my fat mouth was probably saying at the time.
Sean, that is such revisionist history. There's no way you were sitting there at Yankee Stadium, you or any Yankee fan,
Time out. Before you continue. I think this is obvious. Lou Gehrig debate series?
Yeah, we haven't had one in a while.
Yeah. I think this is clearly setting up that way.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I think it's time. You have the board?
Yeah, I got my board ready.
Let me get the song. Hold on.
For those that are not aware, when Sean and Tommy are about to fight, like we can see it coming, like a volcano about to erupt, we call a timeout, and we put them in their corners, and we have a formal debate. We call it the Lou Gehrig debate series. Each person gets 60 seconds to make their point, then a 30-second rebuttal, and then Tiki and I vote on who won the debate. If we need a third person, we'll take your call at 888-808-1019. Currently, we have a board that has the score, but I also have it written down on my documents. It is 6-5 Morash. Mm. 6 for Morash, 5 for Tommy. We have flipped a coin. Mm. Tommy Lugauer will go first in this Lou Gehrig debate series. Yeah, pump that up. I haven't heard that in a while.
Tommy, the
debate at hand is which collapse was worse. Tommy, the floor is yours, and your clock begins right... No. Hold on. Right now.
There's nothing worse than collapsing in the championship round. Nothing. Whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the World Series, whether it's the NBA Finals, nothing is worse than collapsing in the championship round. And when you drop a fly ball, it's not like missing a shot or missing a free throw or a turnover. He dropped a fly ball. Jalen Brunson, yes, he airballed at the end of game one. And yes, the Knicks lost game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, which we're all going to forget about because the Knicks are going to win the series. The Yankees lost the World Series. The Knicks would not be in this spot without Jalen Brunson. Aaron Judge didn't have a damn thing to do with getting to the World Series. He, like all of us, watched the World Series like he usually does in October. He had nothing to do with it. He had one job, and that's catch a fly ball. He couldn't even do that. Stanton carried him. Soto carried him. Glaber carried him. And in the biggest moments, like he's done throughout his entire career, he has dropped the ball literally and figuratively in the big spot. Thank
you. Clock is up. Sean Morash, 60 seconds on the clock now.
994-0. The stats. 994-0. Teams leading a playoff game by 14 or more in the final 2:45 of a game until game one. Something we haven't seen, Tommy, in our lives. In baseball, did you know this? When you trail 5-0 in a game, historical data tells you 11 to 12% of the time, teams come back to win the game. I'm giving you factual stats of how likely it was for the Dodgers to come back in comparison. And oh, by the way, your precious king became a court jester when the ball tipped off his fingertips and he went out of bounds. And he knew when he went back, oh, I hope they don't challenge that because it went off my fingers. And then, you know what? Despite the whole collapse, Mr. Clutch down 3 in overtime, air ball for a chance to tie it, which, by the way, worse than dropping a fly ball in game one, because guess what? The king in basketball has a chance with the ball in his hands way more than Aaron Judge does with at-bats. So the court jester was crowned, and game one was a much bigger collapse.
All right. You have a 30-second rebuttal. This is where you guys got to scream at each other, so just try not to cut each other off too much. But go ahead.
Yeah, my rebuttal is this. Is this just a pathetic attempt by Sean to kill the vibes, to kill the momentum, to kill positive Tommy, to kill the real team in New York City that is the Knicks because he's a loser net fan, and he's clinging so much to this Aaron Judge stuff. I hope Aaron Judge hits 800 this regular season, because when he sucks again in October, it's going to be even funnier. Go ahead, Sean.
I have nothing more to say. You went to insults and called me a loser Nets fan. Guess what? As a Nets fan, I've seen just as many NBA Finals appearances as you have, and more when I actually had hair in private parts.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, that was TMI, but
quite a debate between Tommy Lugauer and Sean Morash. Tiki, what are you thinking?
It was easy. Sean won it easy.
Yeah.
The stats.
I was like, whoa, okay, you got stats. For those that think when we have a Lugauer debate series, we always have it tied so we can go to a caller to break the tie, I kind of 100% agree with Teague. I love you, Tommy. I think Sean kicked your ass. And I think the reason he kicked your ass, and I'm stunned by this, was the fact that he was so prepared.
Yes.
I swear on anything holy, I did not prepare it. I didn't game plan it. I didn't speak to anybody.
Yeah, you guys just started to get loud with each other.
I merely brought something up that I kind of figured you disagree on, but I did not know for sure. So he did not have any prep work, because if he did, I wouldn't reward him for that.
No. What you don't know, Evan, is I've been having this own argument with my head in the shower to live. So that's where I had the stats.
Fair enough. I think he was prepared, and I kind of think Sean was right.
Right.
Like, the attacks have just, you know, that doesn't work. And your attack on Judge isn't fair.
Right.
Like,
the Judge doesn't matter here. We're talking about the collapse in general.
Yeah. And also to say that the Yankees, it was irrelevant, Aaron Judge had nothing to do with them getting in the World Series, you can't say that.
He had zero to do with them getting there.
No, you can't.
The homer against Cleveland, right, but that is so... the fact that I just brought it up, most people forgot about it. That's how unforgettable
MVP,
it was.
Dude. Yeah, that you can't ignore. Like, they got to the postseason with home field advantage
because
of Aaron Judge being the MVP. You can't just dismiss it because he didn't have a great playoff.
And Tommy, this is where stats don't tell the story. As big as and as much, and I agree that Aaron Judge struggled at the plate, you don't think his presence, just mere presence, helped Juan Soto's offensive numbers in that postseason?
Yes!
Soto!
People are going to get mad at me when I say this. I really didn't want people to be mad at me today, but Yankee fans are going to get mad at me. It doesn't matter what their roster is. They get to October every year. It's what you do in October. Aaron Judge or whoever, they're getting there no matter what. He does nothing when they need him.
When the Yankees have had home field advantage in the postseason, in the Aaron Judge era, how many times have they lost that round?
Not really a statistical guy, so tell me.
Zero.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So to dismiss having the best record in the American League and having home field advantage throughout is just not fair because, and I've made a big deal of this last year, if you were paying attention to the show that you executive produced, where
not.
I said to Tiki, hey, home field advantage matters for the Yankees, and here's why. And I gave that example. So, boy, Tommy looks so upset right now.
Because you know what? I thought that because now the Yankee fans are going to be mad at me, and I really don't feel like them being mad at me today. I thought this would be a Nick day. I didn't think we'd have to do this king of debate, which there is no debate.
The debate wasn't the king. It was which collapse was worse.
Unfortunately, there were some major collapses that have happened for our baseball and basketball teams in this city. And that's not, I mean, you guys happen to be fans of both of them independently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It just is what it is.
There's a probably 65% chance that I had no idea what the topic was for the Lou Gehrig debate series, and I argued against a different topic.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
No, I took the L. No, it's not an excuse. I'll take the L, but...
You know what, Tommy? What? You lost? No biggie.
I agree, actually. That's
the current all-time record is now 7 for Morash, 5 for Loogie. So great. A 7-5 lead for one Sean Morash all-time in the Lou Gehrig debate series. Thank you guys for participating. That was a lot of fun. Dan is in Jefferson, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Thanks for taking my call. Kiki, just want to say thanks for the memories. Big Giants fan.
I appreciate
Kiki
you,
Barber
man.
Fan.
Thank you, dude. Appreciate
and,
that.
And you're awesome, man. I'm going to ask you something as a professional athlete. If you're playing a game and you lose in heartbreaking fashion like the Knicks did,
yep.
And someone gives you the choke sign, how much motivated are you to come out the next game and play your tail off to beat that team?
Oh, I mean, it's certainly motivation, but you can't let the emotion of that get in the way of your preparation for beating their ass the next time.
Don't you already have motivation?
You're already motivated, but it's just a way to get it jazzed up for the game. The perfect example, I knew I needed to retire from the NFL when I went to Philly, which is notoriously horrendous city. And they yell at you, they cuss at you. Game 2 or 3, I can't remember what season it was, my last year, I didn't feel anything.
Mm.
I wasn't moved by it.
Right.
I was just kind of like, all right, I'm just going to go out here and play the game. And I knew I was going to be good, but like the emotion had started to fade from the opponent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was the passion was waning. And so when someone gives you another reason to up that passion to beat the opponent, that's what Tyrese Halliburton did. Now, I think Kat said it the right way. Right? We're trying to create history, make history. He's dismissing it, and he did it in a very smart way. But trust me, those guys are not going to forget that.
Ted is in Belrose, New York. What's up, Ted?
Guys, a happy Memorial Day weekend.
Likewise.
To all of you. I want to thank Positive Tommy for tapping me on the airwaves. Evan, you're going to appreciate this because as much as I want to be totally glued and fixated on game 2, I have 8th-row tickets tonight at Citi Field to watch Clayton Kershaw hopefully get pounded by the revived Mets bats. That's number one. So,
well, good for you, because I was giving this a lot of thought tonight. Clayton Kershaw is pitching for the L.A. Dodgers, which is like capturing a North Star. I cannot go.
All right.
But I was thinking about this could be our last opportunity to see one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of our generation.
No, you're right.
And I'm a big, I want to see pitchers guy, besides my own team, obviously.
What is this, year 17 for him?
Yeah, he's been around for a long time, man. He's 37 years old, which is weird to even hear.
And that's why I wanted to go tonight. I figured, you know what, I'm going to bring the tablet like you would, obviously, and tune in at 8:05. But get one point on the Knicks, if you don't mind my saying.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of people have maybe emphasize this enough, and it's, you know what, when you're playing an opponent who historically you've had serious battles with, and now suddenly the inflammation of a rather horrific game one loss looms tonight, there really isn't room for error. Now, if you want to look at the previous series against the Celtics, nobody in their wildest dreams thought the Knicks were going to come out of Boston winning the first two games. Correct?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So now, I hope these paces aren't in the Knicks' head. That's the one thing that troubles me, because you even alluded to it, Evan. That argument on the bench the other night, late in the game, we never saw that at all with this team. So I'm hoping, I truly am hoping, and Knicks fans, like I said, if you can put it away, game one is a memory, just put it in the closet. But I hope mentally the Pacers aren't in their heads. And we're going to know that within the first
I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I think this Knicks team is mentally tough.
I think they are. And I mentioned this at the top of the show. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. I think the way they even played in overtime, despite blowing the lead and losing, showed you that they weren't mentally broken after blowing that lead.
Yeah.
Now, he brings up something very interesting. Sean has made the case against people going to these sporting events while Knicks games are on. The Clayton Kershaw thing is very complicated. He is one of the greatest pitchers of our generation.
Yeah.
He is old. He never pitches, basically. No. He has not had a full season pitching since 2015.
And he's only made one start, I'm looking, this year?
This is only his second start of the year. If you have an opportunity to see, again, in my opinion, one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of our generation, in person, 8 rows off the field. Sean, you going to tell that guy he shouldn't watch the Knicks game on his tablet while also consuming a rare opportunity?
You remember, there are certain ways I bend. I did bend when Paul Skeens was starting at Citi Field. Mm-hmm. What was it, 2 weeks ago during a Knicks game?
Yeah.
So I do understand that. However, man, after that loss in game one, knowing it's the conference finals, that's just, it's very tough. Here would be my argument, though, back. And I think the Mets actually could do something about this.
What? Put the game on during the Met game?
No, not during the Met game.
Good.
He's
offensive.
Right about the tablet thing. And we sat there last Friday night. We watched the Knicks game on the tablet. And I saw a bunch of Knicks fans. But what do you do when the Met game is over? It's not like you could roll out. Friday night when I left Yankee Stadium,
that's a good point.
All the bars outside had the Knicks game on and people made it a party. Honestly, if you're these baseball teams and this is starting to become a thing, dude, the moment that baseball game ends, keep selling concessions and put that game
on
the big
screen. That's a great idea.
Because what do? You bring the tablet. The game's in the fourth quarter. Where are you going?
So game start, what time?
7:10.
7:10. So let's say over by 9:40.
Yeah, I think that's a fair estimate.
It might be like at the beginning of the third quarter.
Right.
Halfway through the third quarter.
That's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea. I know it's going to cost the Mets money because they have to pay for security and people to stay around. Right. But keep the concessions open. And I think you do make it an event. And because the negative that the Mets have that the Yankees don't have is it's not like there's a bar next door.
Yeah.
I mean, you have
it's easy in the Bronx.
Right.
You go many places.
You got many options. So I do think that's a very, very good idea. And so, Mets, if you're listening, why don't you do that? That's a Sean Morash special. By the way, speaking of Clayton Kershaw, you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Blow your mind right now, Tiki. Clayton Kershaw is going to make his 18th career regular season start against the New York Mets. His career mark against the Mets in the regular season.
Okay.
11-0 with a 2.03 ERA. He has never lost a regular season game to the New York Mets. If you listen to my words carefully, I have repeated regular season over and over again because in 2015, Jacob DeGrom outdueled his Rudy Poo. And Kershaw did lose that game, as many of us may recall. So the Mets have beaten Clayton Kershaw, but they have never done it in the regular season. 11-0, 2.03 ERA.
Yeah, well, he's got 11 ERA right now.
Well, he's only made one start.
I know, it's one start. He gave up five runs in four innings, but still.
He's and I don't want to jinx it because obviously he still has it in him to pitch a great game. He is a relic, and it's kind of sad. And I don't.
Why is he hanging on, do you think?
I think so. I can't speak.
I mean, he won a championship a year ago, even though he didn't really contribute to it.
He won a championship in 2020 as well.
Exactly. So
if you want to count that,
I mean,
which they do. They do.
Of course they do. He's had a storied, unbelievable career.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer and is in the short argument of greatest pitcher of our generation.
Right. So why is he hanging on? I wonder.
I can't speak for him, but
especially when he can't do it. We're 50-something games in. And he's made one start.
I think Greg Maddux explained it that he just loved being with the guys. Mm. He loved competing. And he just loved it. And I think in the case of Clayton Kershaw, it's probably the same.
Become the pitching coach then.
That's not the same.
I don't care. Whatever.
Look, it's a decision that a lot of guys got to make. And I think in a weird way it benefits, like you're a great example of it. It benefits the guy that walked away at the top of his game because we don't have these examples of, Clayton Kershaw's a relic.
Yeah.
Great, I get a chance to see him. He's not the same guy. Willie Mays falling down in the outfield. And it doesn't mean they're not great. It doesn't mean you can't still remember the great times. But there is something kind of magical about what you have, what Jim Brown has, what Barry Sanders has, where you never saw them suck.
Yeah.
Like you,
true.
You
well, I mean, you saw me great. Suck early in my career.
That's different, though.
And you know why, different. Tiki?
Why?
Because rookies suck.
They do. Even though I was actually pretty good as a rookie until I got hurt, and then I was bad. No, I really didn't even play. That was the only games I missed in my career, essentially, my rookie season.
But I'm thinking in baseball, it's so different because...
Yeah, because so many years before you even make it.
Yeah, there's a lot of years before you make it, and then when you are done, you're still making such a stupid amount of money
right.
that it's tough to like say, I mean, I'm done, I'm going to walk
honestly,
away.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Look, if I was making, what's the top end for a running back? Saquon is making, what, 20, 19, whatever it is, 18 million, whatever he's making. If I'm making $18 million my last couple of years, I'm not walking away from the game.
No, it's tough to. What's weird with Kershaw is that this past year he was already hurt. They signed him to a very heavy incentive-laden deal in which he's not getting that much guaranteed money.
Yeah.
I think he's guaranteed like $7.5 million.
One year.
So, yeah, if you're going out to Citi Field tonight, I would take your tablets. Because here's the thing. The Mets do this and the Yankees do this. They don't update you if the Knicks are losing. Mm-hmm. They only update you with good information.
Right.
So bring your tablet, bring your phone, and enjoy yourself. Because, look, Sean, I know you give these people a lot of crap. These Met-Dodger tickets are very expensive. You bought it way ahead of time. You didn't factor in the possibility the Knicks are going to have a playoff game. And you're not exactly just going to say, oh, screw it, the Knicks are playing, I'm not going to go. You can do both. It's a challenge, but you can do both.
It's not Yankees-Padres, so I understand that. It's Kershaw, and also Memorial Day weekend is baseball, right?
Absolutely. It's also an NLCS rematch between the New York Mets and the LA Dodgers. Frank is calling from Scotch Plains. Hey, Frank.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. What? Evan, you brought out a good point prior to game one. To Nick about the Knicks, right? The Knicks, a key factor for the Knicks to win would be defense, right?
Yes, so yes.
The Knicks cannot that game one was anything that gets above 100 points, like any shootout, like high scoring game. I don't like the Knicks' chances. I think the Knicks need to get into a situation where they keep it below 100 somehow, and just Towns needs to play better defense. And Brunson as well. Brunson, I love Brunson. He's a great offensive player, but he's scary on defense. He's just not that good.
The one thing I'll disagree with you about is during the regular season, the New York Knicks at times had an incredibly well-oiled, efficient offense. So I disagree that they can't win shootouts. I think pound for pound, they're a better offensive team. My concern is the pace at which the Pacers play.
Yeah.
The fact that if you're going to run up and down the court constantly, you're going to wear yourself out, not just late in games, but certainly later in this series. But the Knicks have the offensive firepower to win a 125-120 game. And they basically did it right. in game one.
Yeah.
They just, unfortunately, couldn't execute at the very end.
They just ran out of a defensive possession. They needed one stop.
That's it.
And game's over.
Adam is in Bayonne. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Tiki, what's going on? How you guys doing?
All's good.
Good.
I usually don't call, but I have to see if you're right or not. And you're usually always right on this. But yeah. When you go back to 2015, didn't Kershaw win game four and DeGrom beat Greinke in five?
I said game one. In game one, DeGrom beat Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, game one, Kershaw and DeGrom faced off.
Yes. You are correct, though. You're right about it. They brought Kershaw back on 3 days rest in game four. Mm. Mets were up 2-1, and Kershaw beat, I'm going to say, Steven Matz in game four. I do not have that in front of me, but I think it was Steven Matz in game four. Then in game five, it was Jacob DeGrom against Zach Greinke. And yes, DeGrom beat Zach Greinke. But no, I'm referring to game one because... That's when Kershaw got the loss. And if you remember in that game, they took him out right before David came up. David Wright in a big spot. And he got this big hit against the reliever, Pedro Baez. And that's when David Wright, that was like a defining David Wright moment. And they won the game 3-1. And DeGrom was awesome. And Clayton Kershaw, let me pull up his line. Because I think he pitched. Clayton Kershaw gets a bad rap for not being a big-time postseason pitcher. And the numbers are what they are. They're not good. But he has pitched really well at times in the postseason. And that game, see, his final line isn't good. 6 2/3 innings, 3 runs, 11 strikeouts, and 4 walks.
It's not horrible, though.
It's not horrible. And also, he was pitching into the 7th inning in a game down 1-0. Those 2 runs scored late in the inning that he gave to Pedro Baez. Jacob DeGrom, by the way, first ever postseason game. You ready? Buckle up. I got to sit down when I read this. I need a cigar after I give this number. 7 innings, 5 hits. 0 runs, 13 strikeouts.
Wow.
and a walk. And he threw 121 pitches. Mercy, mercy, mercy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.